This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Our identity is I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He takes our wrongness and gives us his rightness as a gift. All right. Seven hindrances to prayer. Well, first of all, let me say that prayer, I believe, probably is the greatest privilege that God's given us. Amen. It's not a duty or an obligation. It's something we get to do. When we pray, it's not something we do for God. It's something we do for ourselves. We have the privilege of going to the King of the universe, the creator of all things, and asking him to get involved in our own little personal lives and do things for us that we can never do for ourselves. And so that's really pretty amazing. And you can pray anytime, anywhere, about anything. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be in a particularly spiritual posture. It's good to have set apart times for prayer, but you can pray your way through the day. What I call just, you know, we used to say, which many of you maybe do, when I pray, I'm going to pray about that. Well, you don't need to do that. You can pray right now. So the first hindrance to prayer is simply not praying. Now, second thing is hidden sin. Well, you got to come clean with God. He knows it anyway. How many of you know that there's nothing that God doesn't know about you? He knows things about you that you've forgotten. But God wants us to talk to him about things, because repentance and confession, it gets those things up and out of you. It's almost like a way of getting rid of them. Amen? But hidden sin will hinder your prayer life. Psalm 66:18, David said, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me." So maybe before we pray, we should always start with, I like to start my prayers with thanksgiving, because you enter his courts with praise and thanksgiving. So I like to start, anytime I go to God for like some serious prayer, I start with thanksgiving. And I also confess even sins that I don't even know that I sinned. Like David prayed that, and he said, "Cleanse me of hidden faults, things that I don't even remember and know about." And that's good. I want to go before God clean, and I don't want anything between me and him ever when I pray. In James 5:16-18, it says, "Confess your sins to one another." And I thought about that today, and I thought, you know, there's not much of that that goes on. We try to hide everything from each other. I did a message recently called, It's Okay Not to Be Okay. And I was just talking about, and it was interesting because I started reading a book the other day and a guy had the same message in there. The Holy Spirit's always speaking the same thing through a lot of different avenues. And it should be that way. If it's God speaking, it shouldn't just come through one person. And the thing that I became aware of, and he reiterated this, is every time you ask somebody, "How are you?" If they're a Christian, they're always fine. No, you're not. You're not always fine. Now, spiritually, you may be fine, but why do we feel like we have to lie to each other and act like we're perfect all the time? So I'm just determined to tell the truth. How are you today, Joyce? You know what? Spiritually, I'm good, but I got a headache. I'd like your prayers. Spiritually, I'm good, but I slept awful last night. I'd like your prayers. I think we'd be so much better off if we were just honest with each other instead of trying to act like there's never anything wrong with us. Amen? And I also believe when you're dealing with some kind of sin, and especially if it's something that you're having a really hard time getting beyond, I think going to somebody else, a spouse or a trusted friend, I guess your pastor, if he has time to deal with that kind of thing, and just tell him. I remember going to Dave one time and I said, I'm just really having a hard time being jealous. And I named the person and I said, I just can't seem to get over it. Will you pray for me? And you know what? After that, I never had another problem. And I don't think it was his magical prayer. I think it was the fact that I brought it out in the open and didn't hide it anymore. I think we try to hide too many things from each other because we want everybody to think that we've got it all together. There is not one person in this room that has it all together. Amen. I mean, there has to be a reason why that's there. Confess your faults to one another so that you may be healed. Well, that may be talk about healed physically, but it probably more than likely talking about being healed spiritually. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. The Amplified Bible says the prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Amen. And remember, a righteous man is not a man who does everything right. It's someone who's washed in the blood of Christ and who knows that righteousness has been given to them as a gift because of what Jesus did. Do you know how wonderful that is? My goodness. Why is it that you go to church, and not all churches, but some churches, all they want to talk to you about is how awful you are? You already knew that when you went in. You rotten, miserable sinner, you. Well, actually, we all sin, but I don't believe that our identity is sinner. I think our identity is I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He takes our wrongness and gives us his rightness as a gift. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he that knew no sin became sin. He didn't just pay for your sins, he became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's just like, and when you really say these things and you think about what they're saying, it's like, how can we be unhappy? I don't know how I can ever get unhappy. And I told somebody in the back, I said, if anybody ever hears me complaining, you should just kick me right in the rear end. I mean, when you think about it, what do we have to complain about? I mean, look around you. I'm looking at a room full of people that aren't going to hell. Well, you say, but I'm going through this and I'm going through that. Well, the good news is you're going through, and the other good news is this is not going to last forever. Because even if you live to be 100, that's still just like a one piece of sand on all the oceans in the world. We're talking about eternity with God. Eternity in the presence of God. Forever and ever 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 and ever. So no matter what we go through here, it's worth it to hang on. Because let me tell you something, when Jesus comes again and that trumpet blows, you're going to be glad that you hung in there. And so am I. And I'll tell you the truth, and I mean, I want to be here as long as God wants me to be here, and I want to fulfill my mission and do everything that He's asked me to do. But, you know, I know that maybe I'm probably only going to be here another 12 to 15 years. Well, you know, when you think about that, you think, wow, I've almost completed my journey. You know, life is a journey. We all have a journey that we're walking through. And all this stuff that we get upset about, and all these things that we think we want that we can't be happy if we don't have. Let me tell you something, they're not nearly as important as we make them out to be. Everything that we see in this earth is currently passing away. It's not even going to exist. Hidden sin. Bring it out in the open. God knows it anyway. The Bible says that Elijah was a human being, just like we are, imperfect. One day he cuts up 400 Baal prophets. I mean, that's quite a job when you think about it. I mean, there's some stuff in the Old Testament. And then the next day or a couple days later, he gets a threat from Jezebel and he runs like a scared little mouse. And so one day he's like bold and the next day says he was a human being just like us. And yet he prayed for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the earth for 6 months. So even though he was very imperfect, he still had power with God in prayer. And so do you. Are you hearing me? Don't make the mistake of thinking that you can't pray and ask God for great things until you think you're great. Righteous men and women are not perfect. Now, you know, we've all got our favorite scriptures, and I've got more than one, that's for sure, but these two are a couple of my favorite, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. I think that's so interesting that every temptation that we face, Jesus had to deal with it too. So he knows how you feel. He knows what it's like to wrestle with sin. He knows what it's like to wrestle with temptation. And he doesn't give you judgment. He gives you empathy or sympathy. He feels for you. Let us then, because of what we just read, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. The Amplified Bible says, approach the throne boldly, that we may receive mercy and find grace and plenty of time to meet our needs. Don't ever buy into the lie from Satan that you can't go to God and ask Him to meet your needs just because you have been a bad little girl or boy. Man, you guys are quiet. That's okay, be quiet, you're absorbing. Number three, and obviously I'm not gonna get done again. Number three, hindrance to prayer is doubt. But you know, I had to think a little bit and wait on God about how to teach this, because doubt comes to all of us. However, the Bible doesn't say don't ever feel doubt. We just can't get into it, take it on as ourselves. We need to meet it with faith. And like they say, when fear knocks on the door, let faith go and answer. So I believe that one of the ways to defeat doubt is when you're standing and you're in that waiting period, you're like the guys out in the boat in the storm. You're in the middle. You haven't got to the other side yet. I think when doubt comes, you need to open your mouth and do warfare by coming back at the lie that Satan's trying to tell you with the Word of God. So a lie comes to you, God is not going to do this, you might as well give up. Well, you open your mouth and say, devil, you're a liar, and God is faithful, and he is going to take care of me. Now, I'll tell you, when you do that, doubt has to run the other direction. So I say we need to doubt our doubts. When doubt comes and says it's not going to happen, say, I doubt that. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say, and I know people who have never heard anything like this, you tell them to talk back to the devil and they think you've lost your mind. I remember one woman who, she actually ended up becoming a good partner with our ministry. She said, I'll never forget the first time I heard Joyce on television. She said, here's this woman yelling at the top of her voice, and Jesus said to the devil, and the devil said to Jesus, and Jesus said to the devil, and the devil said to Jesus. But it's in there. And she said, I thought she was nuts, but something got hold of her spirit. You know, sometimes even though you don't like something in your head or it goes against all reason, you can still get a hold of something with your spirit. How many of you believe that you should talk back to the devil? Are you okay? Well, I thank God for that. At least if we're going to be nuts, we can all be nuts together. Hallelujah. Now, I don't recommend doing it out in the grocery store or, you know, at your relative's house who already think you're crazy. But we are in a war. Do you understand that? The weapons of our warfare. We're in a war, and God has given us armor, and he's given us weapons, and we need to use them. And your mouth full of God's word, come on, I said, your mouth full of God's word scares the living daylights out of the devil. It's a double two-edged sword. Let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. Ask in faith, not doubting. If any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I like that, without finding fault. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Now remember, I'm not saying that doubt's never going to come. I'm just saying don't grab it and live with it. You know, don't take it to bed with you and all night let it irritate you. That person won't receive anything from the Lord. That person's double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Doubt puts us between believing and not believing. But remember, you can open your mouth and do warfare with the enemy. Mark 11, 23 and 24. Truly I tell you, if anybody says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and I think that's pertaining more to like a mountain of problems, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Now, you have to listen very carefully here. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you will get it. Now, that's, you don't want to miss what that's saying. See, in God's economy, you believe before you receive. And that's the challenging part, because you're believing the Word of God. You're not believing what you can see or what you can feel or even what makes sense to you. You're saying, I believe that God is faithful and I believe His Word more than I believe how I feel or what I think are the lies of Satan. When you go to God and ask for anything, believe that you have received it. Say, well, where is it? Well, it's on its way in the spiritual realm. Your angel's on its way with it. So don't say something negative and send him back. And then believe God again and he tries to come again. Then you say something negative and he has to go away. Yeah, partially I'm having fun, but you know, the truth is we got to believe and stick with it. How many of you understand what I mean? You know, you just, what's the sense in praying for Johnny to get off drugs and then going to lunch with your friend and talking the whole lunchtime about how afraid you are that he's never going to get off drugs? You just killed your prayer. We got to pray it and say it. When doubt comes to you, open your mouth and say, I believe that God's working. You know, if you stick around long enough with God, you finally get around to making some decisions because you get tired of being a miserable Christian. It's one thing to be a miserable sinner. It's another thing to be a miserable Christian. And we want to please God, but all these, this doubt and unbelief and all the stuff that comes against us, it gets hard for us to handle. And I don't know how long ago it's been, but I finally made a decision. God helped me make a decision. See, I don't have to know. I don't have to believe or feel because I know. Job said, in the midst of the worst ordeal we can imagine, I know that my Redeemer lives. See, I know that Jesus is coming back. I know that. We know things down in here. And if we would believe more of what's in here instead of what's up here. All right. I agree with you too. See? When God says something to you that is unreasonable, don't ask your head what it thinks. You have things in your heart. You need to pay more attention to what's in your heart than what's in your head. Are you with me? A pastor told me one time that he went to Bible college and it was a pretty big, well-known Bible college. I won't even get into that now, but he had always planned to come back to St. Louis and start a church. But they really liked him there, and when he graduated from Bible college, they offered him a really good position at the church with a very good salary and benefits. So then he got confused. I don't know what to do now. Should I stay here? Should I go to St. Louis? He went to a friend for counseling, and the friend said, turn your mind off, go somewhere, get quiet, turn your mind off, and look and see what's in your heart. Well, he ended up in St. Louis with $13, a wife, and two kids, and ended up building one of the biggest churches in St. Louis. Amen? Are you with me when I say turn your head off, get quiet, find out what's in your heart? See what fits. You know how I know what to preach? And I preach a lot, so it's, you know, I mean, it's not uncommon in a week for me to preach 7 different things. And I believe that every time I get up to preach that I've got the right word at the right time for the right people. Well, how do I know that? You know, when I get, I mean, of course, you know, at this point in my life, I'm not getting too much that's brand new. I've got I preached on everything I think that the Bible says. I get so tickled when God gives me a new revelation, it just thrills me more than you can imagine. It's like, whoo, that's really good. And, but I can tell, I might get 4, 5, 6 messages or series out of my file cabinet, and I'll go sit down with them and just start going over them. And I can tell, sometimes I'll say, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. I can tell by finding out what fits. See, you need to, you can find out what you're supposed to do in ministry by what fits, what feels right, what's comfortable. When you go out and buy a new outfit, you don't go get something that's uncomfortable. At least I don't. I used to when I was younger. I'd be uncomfortable in order to be cute until I just about ruined my feet wearing 3.5-inch high heels up here. And don't do that no more. Now I get comfort shoes. And we just need to slow down a little bit and not think we got to make... When you're being pressured for an answer, that's the devil, it's not God. God will give you time to hear the right thing from him.
Discover the freedom to talk to God about anything and everything with today's offer, The Power of Simple Prayer. Through her practical teaching, Joyce helps unravel the mystery of talking to God and shares the building blocks for a more rich and intimate prayer relationship with him. And when you order, you'll also get this bonus digital series, Prayers That Get Answered. The Power of Simple Prayer and bonus series, Prayers That Get Answered, is available to order for your gift of $25 or more. Connect with us right now. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
So, you've never been to a Love Life Women's Conference? What? Well, this is the one. This is the 40th anniversary celebration, and it is going to be big. And we're back in St. Louis, where Joyce began it all. Register now at joycemeyer.org.
Well, if you had to describe the current state of the world, what words come to mind? Division, strife, anger. Yet in spite of the challenges we face, the love of God has the power to change people's hearts. That's why I'm so excited about my latest book, Loving People Who Are Hard to Love. This book will teach you how to find and give hope to a world in desperate need of God's love.
Loving People Who Are Hard to Love. Order your copy today.
We hope you have enjoyed today's program. Please contact us or visit joycemeyer.org to share your prayer request or partner with us in sharing Christ and loving people all across the globe. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.